Hello, you're listening to Living Alone Together. I am your only host, Yen. So it is now 4:02 in England. I've been recording this opening for about 5 minutes because when I started, it was only 3:58. Okay, not important. The point is, obviously, I'm still awake right now. And the reason for that is I had this Greek coffee today. It's called a Freddo espresso, and it is a very, very strong espresso with a lot of ice. I'm not sure what else is its essence. From what I can tell, it's just a very strong coffee. I normally make a lot of coffee for myself, so pour over coffee at home, and but nothing feels as strong as this caffeine-wise. And I have to admit, I'm quite ashamed of this, but I have this, the only place where that would give me this strong caffeine placebo effect is Starbucks. I've always associated Starbucks with very strong caffeine, and so whenever I feel like I have to do a lot of things today, I would get myself a Starbucks, which is about once per month or something. And now I think I have associated Freddo espresso with just strong caffeine, so that's good. I have another choice when I need this either physical or placebo energy. Anyway, so because of this, I came up with a revolutionary idea just now, which is probably not revolutionary. Point is, you know, I was actually debating whether or not I should just force myself to sleep and try to set the alarm clock for 7 or 7.5 hours so that I make it before 12 o'clock and so you could still say I woke up in the morning, or should I just go with it and just stay awake until I absolutely cannot handle it anymore and sleep and do whatever I want to do, right? And today, I think, to the triumph of the public, I have decided to record this episode instead of going to bed, because I feel like discipline should be toned down. Given the stage of my life right now, as in, I don't have a lot going on and I have this freedom, so why not just use this freedom and do it the way I want? I was gonna say today I don't have that much of a topic in mind, but, I have sort of thought about the so-called revolutionary idea of choosing the middle ground for a lot of things. So given that example of whether or not I should go to bed and how I should approach this, you know, this is not the first time I have this dilemma. And today I have a different theory on this whole thing, which is that instead of treating the lack of discipline, the lack of productivity as being completely lazy and completely just without boundaries and just a mush of clouds or a mush of potatoes, instead of making that kind of imagery as the opposite of discipline and productivity and organization, I feel like the actual opposite of that, of discipline and organization and productivity, I think the actual opposite of these things is winging things. So I was just thinking about this. So for example, people would often say that, well, the opposite of love isn't hate, it is indifference. That is the kind of analogy I'm trying to come up with right now, where people mistake, or I've mistaken, the opposite of productivity to be laziness, But maybe the fact is that there is some sort of middle ground where a completely different realm of looking at these things. And so instead of just pairing things like black and white and then the middle ground to be gray, maybe the middle ground is a completely shade. Maybe it's red. Well, maybe it's called hue, not shade. Yeah, it's called hue. So instead of seeing things on a linear kind of spectrum, maybe I could just pin the real opposite to the whole thing as something of a completely different hue. So maybe red or green instead of gray, right? And so I was thinking that in my personal struggle, when I want to choose between very, very productive and being very lazy, maybe the true opposite of both of these things is just winging things. And winging things means having a lack of structure. Because when you say you are, okay, today I'm just going to relax, I'm going to laze off, I feel like that is still just another side of discipline, right? You're telling yourself, okay, you absolutely have to relax right now, and you should schedule your times to relax, and yada yada yada. And I feel like the true opposite of the lack of all these productive activities, the true opposite is what I'm doing right now, which is winging things. So if you want to go for the relaxing activity, oxymoron, I think, but if you want to go for the relaxing activity, or if you want to go for the entertainment, so be it. But if in the moment you do feel like productive, not in, as in doing a lot of things at the same time, but for example, writing things down, just having some output, that is totally fine. You don't have to stop yourself from doing that. And also, to make it even more trivial but relevant, if you're a student right now and you have a lot of freedom to decide when you go to bed, well, I guess if you're a student, you don't really have that. But suppose you're someone who does have that, and somehow one of the days you're like me, where you feel like, oh shit, I hit this awkward hour of the day where it might be better just push through the day instead of sleeping at an awkward hour and waking up at another awkward hour, right? You might have this dilemma, and you might struggle and tell yourself, okay, how about I just sleep for 2 or 3 hours and wake up at 6 in the morning and reset the whole clock, or I could just not sleep for another 2 or 3 hours and wake up at 6, whatever it is, right? And reset the whole thing, right? This could be the more disciplined path, because you want to go the more traditionally good route of waking up early, 6 or 7 o'clock, and then sleeping early, right? And then this could be the disciplined option, and then the lazy alternative, which is the mistake people make, the mistaken option that people take to be the opposite of the disciplined option, is to, okay, why don't I just actually, now it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, how about I just go on and go to bed at 6 o'clock, and then and have this free spirit, and then wake up at, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and whatever. If I'm a true artist, that's what they do, right? Well, this is a mistaken option, because this option is actually not the actual opposite of the first option, where you want to get up, you want to reset your routine. This is also the same thing, because you are pursuing the artist image, and you have this false, you're not being authentic, and you're trying to live up to this, what you imagine artists are doing. And so today, in this rare moment, I have chosen the actual opposite of these options, or two of these mindsets, which is just to wing it. If I feel like making a podcast now, so I do it. And so this is something I've decided to do today, but I'm not going to make it the rule that I am going to, if this happens again, if I happen to be awake at 3 a.m., I have to like make a podcast or anything. No, no, no. I'm not making this into a rule, and I'm not going to feel any sort of urge to reset the routine or to think too much about this. It's just winging it. So that's kind of refreshing to myself and no one else I know, to discover this sort of, in a way, middle ground or a completely different hue for thinking about things. And this is just a tiny era in life. And I feel like a lot of times, I suppose, potentially this kind of alternative hue thinking could be everywhere else. So by alternative hue thinking, I mean, instead of treating things in a linear way, thinking that, all right, either it's black or white, or this is a gray area, maybe the world is colorful, you know, maybe you could do a green thing, you could do a blue thing, whatever it is, but it doesn't have to be on the same scale as black, white, and gray, right? At least, I think that's a mistake that I make a lot when it comes to making decisions and just reflecting on things and analyzing. So yeah, props to the Freddo espresso that led to this very, very important discovery of life. So this is one thing I want to chat about. Right. Another thing is I've been thinking about, this is going to sound a bit ironic, but I've been thinking about the emotion sadness recently, and to be precise, since yesterday. Because yesterday I felt, for the first time in a very long time, at least since this year, this very purified feeling of sadness. So generally for me, when I have any kind of emotion, it's definitely provoked by an incident or by a chain of events or someone else's things happening, and you know, it's an emotion that comes after the analysis of certain very specific situation, right? For example, I didn't get accepted to whatever place I want to get accepted to, or I had a fight with someone, or there's this strain in some relationship, whatever it is, there's normally an event that leads up to the emotion, or rather the emotion constitutes the very analysis of the event. At least that's what emotions feel like for me. So it's never like a, it's not a really pure kind of feeling. It's not completely irrational in essence. It's always it's just in the thinking itself, and it's not a carnal kind of feeling. And I think that, I guess yesterday, I felt this very carnal kind of sadness, as in it's the kind of sadness that just swells up your whole being. I don't know if that's an exaggeration, but let me try to describe it a little bit. So yes, this sadness was still provoked by a very specific incident, and it started with my thinking about it, and then you would go into that downward spiral thinking about what this means and why it happens and what are the similar things to this event, and why are they all bad, and why do we live in such a terrible world, basically. And there's this chain of thinking that causes this intensification of unpleasantness, let's just say, but I wouldn't call unpleasantness sadness per se, it's just a more general feeling. But then eventually there isn't that much to analyze about, and yet there's this lingering feeling of unpleasantness that I would then call being sad. And so it's a really new, raw feeling for me. You just feel like, I just feel like there are no words to it anymore. And like being even calling it sad is itself a stretch, right? Like it's just trying to put a label on something that you can't really describe. So yesterday I had this moment of feeling very sad in a very pure way. And I just couldn't, I gave up thinking about what's going on, and I gave up analyzing. And then in that moment, you just feel like you're being encompassed by that very vague but also very strong and physical carnal kind of feeling. So that's kind of new to me this year at least. And because that feeling is so pure, even though it is sadness, you just feel like you want to pause the moment for a bit. And what I was doing yesterday when I was feeling that, I was basically, my resort was to listen to music, and it's the greatest feeling ever. It's because your mind, it's like it's a circular argument, but because your mind entered this non-thinking stage, and that's why you're so sad in the first place. But because that happened, you sort of, you could absorb the music 100% without interruption. You feel like there's nothing else you can do, right? You've thought so much about the situation that suddenly nothing else can be thought about, and there's just, your mind stops doing the work of this rational analysis, and it just reaches this stage of floating about and just not motionless, but it's floating, it's there, your mind is there, it's not shut down, but it's there. But you have no more energy for words, at least, right? No more energy for words or logic, and you listen to this music, and the music might not even be necessarily sad, or they could be upbeat songs, and they could be just any general music, but suddenly the music became just so much more engaging, because now you suddenly have space for the music, whereas in the past, I feel like when I'm feeling okay, there's still a lot of background work doing, that my brain is doing, and so you're not completely focused on the music. Obviously your brain is doing a lot of work at the same time, and for example, you gotta, you know, find your direction, and you gotta keep walking, keep your balance, yada yada yada. But just because the events and the thinking leading up to that very raw feeling have exhausted its ability to analyze, suddenly you're left with this very blissful kind of state, and it's not something you can control. And so it's great to have yourself just, I'm not losing control, but at least stopping the thinking, and because the events leading up to the sadness were so profound to start with, you don't want to think about the trivial stuff anyway. So even if you have control, it's just very, very difficult, really, to distract yourself with the trivial things. So then you're in this state where everything is just quiet. Very quiet, very peaceful, and so the music just rushes in, and your brain just functions like a sponge that absorbs absolutely everything, and coupled by your sadness, the whole music experience just feels so much better. I think I wouldn't call myself an alcoholic, but I mean I do drink, and I do have to make an active effort to not drink every day. Maybe that's an alcoholic, but whatever. The point is, I guess part of the reason why I do drink is to reach this effect. You know, I always feel like when I do drink, when I start drinking, even, I think there's this very immediate placebo effect that once I start drinking my brain power or my brain's power to analyze things in a very verbal way just immediately goes down, and I can reach the semi-blissed state. And you just feel like, okay, I have less willingness and less power to do the thinking. And obviously it could be a circular argument, as in maybe it's because you didn't want to think that much that you reach for the alcohol, and it's not the other way around, that alcohol causing you to not think that much. But whatever it is, so basically that is this a similar, like, alcohol has this similar effect. But the sadness thing is just so pure, and it's so original. Like, you can't force yourself to feel sad, really. You just can't. So when it comes and it's like a very rare incident, I'm not trying to do like a sort of motivation speech or anything. But the point is, if you plow through that, if it let it pass, or rather if you let the opposite, if you let it linger for a little bit, it could turn into something really, really special, like this, the moment of sadness. And I think that's why people sometimes do wallow in their sadness. And I definitely talked about this some episodes ago. But anyway, the point is just, so yeah, it's definitely not a motivational speech. The point is just that if you stay in that moment and let the emotion encompass your whole being in a very carnal way, even, I feel like that is actually one of the happiest moments in your life that you could have, that are that is just so pure, right? I'm not a relationship or an emotion expert or anything, but that is just my personal experience. So that's what I was feeling yesterday. I wouldn't say I enjoyed the moment, but definitely the enhanced sensitivity to music was a good side effect of the feelings. But the negative events that prompt this whole thing were still there. And I'd rather not have these events than have these events. But I don't know if it's a silver lining or anything, but it's a surprising good effect that came out of it, right? So yeah, so that's something that happened to me recently that I wanted to share. And I guess it would be much better if you had like a pure joy moment rather than a pure sadness moment. And I suppose like mostly the pure joy moment wouldn't start with an analysis at all, right? It probably just comes very, very strongly, directly, immediately. Like it's probably something like, I don't know, your child being born or getting some job or kissing, whatever it is. But I'm saying that yes, of course it will be much better if it's a pure joy moment rather than a pure sadness moment. But you know, I was thinking, I feel like pure joy moments are not gonna be as powerful as the pure sadness moments, because there is something quite universal about what prompts joy. I suspect that the birth of a child, for example, the great, I don't know what else, the great food, and getting accepted to a dream job or dream college or dream person, accepted by a dream person, whatever. I feel like the elements of joy are more or less the same for everyone. But the elements for sadness, I feel like, could be more personalized, and it's very specific to an individual. Yes, there are some things that are universally sad most of the time. Let's say a death of a person close to you. Okay, that is the kind of pure sadness you could experience. But what else? I mean, for me personally, what prompted that moment of sadness was quite personal, and I can't really describe it, and I can't really explain why, right? But, you know, I feel like moments of joys are definitely more commonly shared than moments of sadness. Maybe something like the, like, war, or just big events that would shock everyone in the world. Maybe the disappearance of the Malaysian flight. I don't remember MH 570 or something. Anyway, maybe there are big moments like these that would prompt this pure sadness kind of thing, and it would be collective. But I feel like it's more difficult to share sadness than to share joy. Anyway, it's unimportant. The point is, I had a moment yesterday. That's it. So yeah, that's about that. And as for what I'm gonna do in terms of winging life from now on, I'm not saying that it's gonna be like a lifelong philosophy, but in this moment of winging it, that's my new take on life. I'm not sure what it's actually gonna entail for me. I guess it just, I hopefully it means I'll be happier with the things I do decide to do when I do wing things. But there's no guarantee for that, is there? Anyway, one thing I do want to share, that's an outcome of this winging it philosophy, is that I have I decided to not think about the gym or exercising at all. And it might not be the best decision in terms of like economics, but it might not be the economically best decision in the way of, you know, when we're speaking about well-being and whatnot. But first of all, gyms here are just so expensive. At least they're not worth that price in my opinion, because it's, for me, I still have to take a bus to go there, and it's like extra cost, and I don't even enjoy it. And I feel like a big part of this winging it philosophy is about doing things that actually make you happy. And I realize how few people actually do go to the gym when I talk to people, when it comes to people in my own life. That is actually a very, very small proportion. I think the gym thing, first of all, I did used to jog outside, and a lot of times the weather is just not conducive to jogging outdoors. So that's mostly what I'm in the gym for. But then you start reading online about, you know, weight training and whatnot, and you feel like you have to go try it out. And sometimes it does feel so good to feel that resistance and to sleep better at night and to have that sense of control. And to, oh, another thing is for me when it comes to jogging is to have a dedicated time to listening to the music I love, because other than jogging, you can't, when you're jogging, maybe it's producing that sort of emotional thing where you can't really do much other than just jogging, and you can't really think that much when you're jogging, at least for me, so you end up just listening to the music. So it used to be that kind of gateway to music, really, rather than enjoying the physical activity itself. But then I realized that it's not about the time, and it's not even that much about the money. It's just that I feel like that is something promoted certainly I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you sort of have the vague idea that you should be doing that, but there's no, anyway, we'll see if it makes it me happier to not have this on the back of my mind all the time. Because almost every 2 days or 3 days, I feel like, okay, I have to go to gym, and then I have to plan, and then my whole day will be occupied by intrusive thoughts of going to the gym, right? And then one out of 2 days, when I do have these intrusive thoughts, I end up not going, and you just wasted the whole mental space that day calculating or, you know, resisting, procrastinating, or actually procrastinating and ultimately resisting going to the gym. And so you just it just feels bad and just a waste of mental space. So yeah, that's it. I'm just gonna have to live more freely, like an adult, like an actual adult. Yeah, I'm gonna stop this need to control tiny details of my life to be like the best self you could be, whatever that means. Also, however, that doesn't mean that I'm just gonna go the complete, like, let's say, do the complete pushback of the disciplined life by doing absolutely nothing and just being very lazy and binge watching shows. It doesn't mean that. I'm just gonna do whatever comes to mind, right? I'm just gonna wing it. If I feel like going to the gym, if I feel like signing up for the gym, then I'll do it. If I feel like I'm gonna eat unhealthily, then I'll do it for the day. But I'm sure there's some sort of internal system that's going to keep me in check. But no, that's not the point, right? Point is just to truly wing it and just to follow my heart and to do what I do want to do the most in that moment, whatever it may be. So, yeah, so I guess that's what I want to say. And I actually feel a little bit drowsy right now, so it's about time. Yeah, so happy spring. In the UK, there are some cherry blossoms, so that's nice. Other than that, hope you are all very good. And if you're sad, hope you get to experience the intense kind of feeling in a good way, you know. So, see you hopefully next week. Bye!